Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
All right, bang, bang. Welcome to Dayport and our show with Eddie and company.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
All right, Rough and Rowdy. 1 through 10, what would you give the event?
7 or an 8. I mean, obviously, the crazy guy there, the guy who called out Bobby Lang, we needed that fight. That fight made the whole card his. He gets all the attention on him. He goes crazy after. So that made it. The Nadeau, Jersey Jerry, kind of a pillow fight, not the most aesthetically pleasing fight of all time. I think they both came out winners. The loser was Rico.
Why is that?
Well, because I think Nadeau came out well. Everyone's like, he fought, he didn't run, he tried to fight, he did his best. And Rico just looks a gigantic pussy, I think.
What do you think about people claiming that that was set up or fake with him attacking him in the back?
Yeah, they just don't know Rico very well. Like, Rico would have let his cousin's bar go out of business for not doing content with Nadeau. He was mad at Caleb. He said Caleb set that up. That was not set up. I mean, people always say whatever they want. You just don't know anything about Rico if you think Rico is going to be in on something like that. Never.
I mean, he's refused to do literally anything, be in the same room.
Correct. And he's made a mockery, like he's an embarrassment in regards to how he's handled it. So, no, you just aren't paying any attention to Rico at all if you think he would willingly partake in Nadeau content like that. No chance.
No, I mean, I get how it looked, too. Like, when he just kept creeping up, I thought I was seeing a ghost. Like, you seeing it happen in real time was hard to... Like even
yeah, I was stunned seeing it. But no, you just, again, you don't know anything about Rico.
So, obviously, Nadeau lost. Rico seems to think it's done. Do you think Nadeau's chapter here is done? Do you think we'll ever see him again in any shape or form?
Yeah, I do. I don't know how, when, where. Like I said, Nadeau's stock has never been higher. The fight game can do that. I think a lot of people gain respect for him.
Did either of them hit a bonus?
What do you mean?
Because wasn't there? I know there was a knockout bonus. Obviously,
they didn't get the knockout bonus. Nadeau made it like to the second round bonus, but no, nothing crazy. They basically both got what we expected.
And I mean, I gotta say too that big booty daddy guy, whatever his name was, he was worth like a point and a half to that event. That was like
that's what I said. Yeah. And the girl fight, obviously, which was we need a trilogy of that. Those are the two best fights.
What do you think about her Hot Wheels? She said she got screwed. Do you agree?
No, I think she could have won. I think you could argue it either way. It was a super close fight.
I think she says, like, the commission's against
her. I've heard a little bit. That was a coin flip. Cherry Bomb won the first round. Hot Wheels won the second round. Third coin flip. And it's not like a knockdown. She knocked her down, but it's not like a knockdown. You just win rounds. So knockdown in the second round doesn't help you in the third, I don't think.
And I don't know how many people like tuned out after Nadeau Jerry, but the last fight, the big guy fight, was great too.
Lasted like 2 seconds. Yeah, that was a surprising knockout. The slap guy.
I got emotional.
Yeah. Oh.
Afterwards, and then any word about the truck losing power? What was the deal there?
I don't know. Pete did a good job getting it back up quick. I thought we were going to be major trouble. I mean, we missed one fight, so it wasn't that big of a deal in the end.
Yeah, we missed the big guy in the pink, though. Well, I think a lot of people were upset about
that. No, we caught most of that.
Like half of it, yeah. Or maybe the second round, first round.
But we didn't miss anything. Like, if you saw half that fight, you saw all that fight.
Mm-hmm. How do we do pay-per-view-wise?
It's a good one. It was around 60,000 pay-per-views, which is right up there. Like, outside of Conseco, that's a high for us, right about in that neighborhood.
Okay. So it's was a big success then.
Yep. Yep. Definitely.
And then we're coming back February.
I think yeah, I think that's the plan.
And probably gonna be Lang versus this big booty daddy.
You would think so, yes.
Yeah.
It's a great fight. How can you not want to see that fight?
Yeah, that guy was he was nuts. Army Navy game, Viva La Troops fundraiser.
Didn't do as well as I thought we would do. And I mean, everything's difficult to gauge, but you had to be a new sign up. Like, I thought we were going to raise millions. We didn't even come close. Like, I think we'll end up cutting each charity a check for about $100,000.
Yeah, I think, but the new sign up was a caveat.
Yeah, it makes it hard. And then we put the sweatshirts on sale so anybody could do it. I don't like promising more than we delivered, but like I said, I thought maybe we'd get a seven-figure check. No, it's going to be about $100,000 each probably once said and done.
And you went to, how was the game?
I love going Army-Navy. It's literally like one of my favorite events outside of Patriots Super Bowl, the pageantry, everything involved. I really, truly love going Army-Navy. Got to meet Roger Staubach. That's like...
Saw that.
I mean, Roger Staubach. I mean, the guy's nickname's Captain America. I mean, he's just an all-time guy. His family, he's got a lot of young grandkids and whatnot. Super Dave Portnoy, super fans. Like, very excited to see. Like, they reached out, like, hey, you want to meet Roger Staubach? It's like, yeah. Like, there's very few people. I'd be like, all right, let me get on my horse and go meet somebody. He's just a legend in my mind.
So you went to his suite?
Yeah, I went to his suite, yep.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
How was the tailgate? Was good and everything?
Yeah, we had a nice setup. Everything was great. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I've been sick for like the last week. I actually got like the COVID test negative, but I've just had a bad cold too.
How many times have you had it?
What?
COVID. You've had it twice already,
right? I've only been diagnosed officially once, but I feel like I had it twice. But yeah, I didn't know if I had it this time around because I feel like everyone's getting it everywhere. But yeah, I got the test negative. Gotcha. And I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I've been sick for like a week.
Oh, fuck.
But today is like the first day I'm kind of like back.
There you go. Welcome back. I guess the big thing that I think a lot of people want you to weigh in on is McAfee signed a monster deal with FanDuel 4 years.
Yep. Huge deal. Those numbers did surprise me in a sense because it's so big. And I tweeted out, and a lot of people thought it was like negative McAfee. It wasn't really negative McAfee. FanDuel, we spoke with them when McAfee was still employed here, I believe. And it was like they didn't make a – they didn't even offer – the offer on the table was like $100 million, like cash or something like that. They didn't even make that offer. Like, no, too expensive. It just shows you how the market has changed. Because they could have, like, all of Barstool, including McAfee at the time, for $100 million. Now they're paying that much for one guy. It's crazy.
Did you talk to Pat at all?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think, I guess I could see how people were turned off by your tweet, right?
How? They misunderstood it if they were.
Well, I think you were more so responding to the part of my take portion of the tweet. I understood that, but...
Well, it was like how much would they – yeah, and it's like, well, they could have had it all. It was the part in my take, right? They're like, how much would they be in the open market?
Yes, and you said this deal is specifically because of us. FanDuel declined to make an offer on Barstool, and they could have had myself, PMT, McAfee, and everybody else, and they balked at $100 million. Barstool's redefined everybody's worth by our success. P.S., I taught McAfee how to bet.
All facts.
Yeah, but I think it could be.
Those are 100% facts. The first, Pat McAfee had never placed a bet in his life, and not only that, had no idea how to bet. Like, that's a fact. I think we were in Iowa, and I was betting the board, and he's like, just double everything you have. And I was like, all right. I actually called up. I had to increase my fucking limit. I had to increase my limits because I always bet the max my limit. And then I increased it, and the McAfee's like, wait a minute, you bet that much? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, I don't want that. And I was stuck with all these bigger limits, and I got whacked because of him. He owes me, like, probably seven figures because he increased my limits when I didn't want to. That's a true story. But he never – so what are people mad about? That's a true story.
Yeah, their story, but I think people are like, oh, it was his moment. He could have just said congratulations, you know, instead of just saying how this deal only happened because of our story.
But I was like responding to somebody that brought us into it. They're like the part of my take. Like, I didn't – I was responding to a tweet that's like, how much is part of my take on the open market? That's what I was responded to. Mm-hmm. Like, I have private things with Pat, which is like, hey, congrats. He's like, thank you. I learned it all from you. He did learn it. Oh, you know what I learned from – and again, Pat is wildly, wildly talented and is always going to – he's always destined to do his kind of own thing. Where I, the only thing I screwed up – and it wasn't Ann Mossy. He made all this money. Listen, before Pat went to FanDuel – we were talking about trying to get him back here. Pat wanted to come, and we just wanted to do like a gambling deal with him, and FanDuel offered him more than we were willing to offer, the Penn guys. Pat wanted to come back full-time and do like a radio show with me. Like, that was his idea. So there's no animosity. But
when was this?
Before he did the FanDuel deal. He's like, FanDuel offered me a stupid amount of money. So he's like, I got to go.
This deal or his previous deal with FanDuel?
What?
Like this deal he just signed last week?
No, the one before that.
Oh, the one before that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, like when we did the Penn deal, when we did Penn, I re-reached out. I'm like, hey, we just did this deal. We got more money. Come back. He was into it. He's like, yes. Like, let's try to figure it out. And he wanted to do literally his day. He's like, me and you do our own show together. It'll be the biggest show there is. So there's no animosity there. So the people who jump on the things don't make anything. I was making a business point on that tweet. Like, yes, the market has changed. We were the first quarterback to sign. We did $450 million, and it made it look cheap instantly by our success. That was the point. It's like, how if Pat's by a loan worth that, how much are we worth? That was the point of that. Now, my lesson, if you want to, there is no – my lesson, McAfee, overall from a business side – is a non-solicitation. That's what we learned, and you learn everything that way. Like, without Bubbly Gang and all the people who work for us going to him, it would have been a lot harder. And this isn't a McAfee, it's anything. It's building a competitor, basically. Like, we won't let people just take our employees with them anymore. Learn that lesson.
Because you kind of let him, like, choose and who could come here, who could come
he
there.
Yeah, like, he had his own business ready to go. Like, I mean, he had a sales guy. He had everything. He had the infrastructure, which was our employees. But we didn't, you know, we didn't prevent that.
How do you really stop that, though?
People non-solicitation. Just leave and jump ship? Non-solicitation. Like, okay. If you leave, you can't, like, and we didn't have our contracts right.
Like a non-compete, you mean?
Yeah, we just didn't – I don't even at that time know that we had, like, contracts correct. Like, Lewis, although he, like – I don't think that enterprise works without him.
Because he was around for so long and he
knew everything about us. He knew our infrastructure. He knew everything. He knew – he had the sales contract. He had everything.
And he's out there, right? So he didn't even get a piece of that, right?
I have no idea. I don't think he is there, but I have no idea. I mean, again, Pat strikes me as a guy who doesn't leave people. I don't know. I have no idea the relationship. Like, Pat's not – it's crazy because Pat, in my mind, he's not money-driven. He's just, like, success, like, respect-driven.
Yeah, I mean, he said that. That was
– yeah, he's never – he wouldn't have left the NFL if he was, like, money-driven. And I don't think he left here – because of money. He left like he just thought he wasn't getting like the respect like he deserved here, or he could do it on his own.
Do you think the deal was too high?
The market is, there's very few Pat McAfees. The market is what the market is. They've already know what he does. So no, I don't think it's too high.
I agree. I mean, it's a shit ton, but like comparatively to like the other ones we've seen happen, this one's like, all right, that makes sense. Like they're monster on YouTube. They do a good show. Like,
yep. I mean, it's not too far off from the guy from Miami, right? He was in here like 25 a year, Lebatard?
I think he got – I want to say he got a lot less. Can you look that up, Kareem?
No, it was 40. It was something big.
Was it?
Yeah. 50 mil over 3 years.
50 over three. And so it's all relative.
But they own him, though, right? I think that's the key factor here.
No, they don't own Lebatard.
So it's just an ad deal.
50 over 3, yeah. Wow. Again, that was my business point. It's speaking to the advantage that Penn has. I'm going to have to call timeout and get a tissue, and we'll continue after.
Time in?
Time in.
All right, time in. And then I guess, really, does this kind of change your feelings knowing that, I mean, he got that for just a just an ad deal. Like,
right.
Is that...
Well, again, it's the same thing as, like, the pros. The guys who sign first, like Brady, doesn't make the most. Or guys who set the market, yeah, their contract becomes outdated. That's the I wish we got it more. This happened at, I think people will be surprised, like with the churning guys, like I was vastly underpaid. Now, if you look at my contract, you would say Dave's vastly underpaid. You would. I can do whatever I want with that. Like, I could do it at churning. I could do it here. I don't know. Like, I'm generally like an honor the contract guy. You have a contract, you sign it, you honor it. That's how I've said things about like Caller Daddy or other things. It's like, all right, you did the deal. It worked. When you sign the deal, you honor it. We at Barstool do rip up contracts and increase them as people have success. And it sometimes puts me in a kind of a weird spot, to a degree, because I see other people getting better deals than like what I got. And I negotiate those, and then I have my own. And at, you know, the churn guys never stepped up and like, you're wildly underpaid. Kearns at the end of our contract is like, I wish I was your agent. Like, he said that to me. That's essentially like, we took you for a ride a little bit. I don't know. It's an interesting spot to be in.
Yeah, but you probably rationalize that with knowing that you're going to get taken care of on the back end. Right?
No, who says I'm going to get taken care of in the back end?
I mean, it's just a fact. Do you have the most stock?
You mean stock? Gonna, like, yeah, but that...
Yeah.
There's an element, to be honest, like the stock that I got is for what Barstool was worth. They underpaid for what... And they made a great deal, but it's worth more now, and the stock is what the stock is, but that shouldn't change my... Like, they're two different things. That's Barstool. You bought Barstool, not just me. You bought Barstool. And then you have a salary. If you look at my salary, which I'm not going to say what it is, in light of the deals going around, I'm probably one of the most underpaid humans in the world. I still make a lot of money, but it's just in relative of what everybody else makes.
North of seven figures?
Oh, I'm not giving any answers. We'll just say I'm wildly underpaid. And I'm not the only one.
I mean, do you talk to Penn? Who do you negotiate with if you want to change that?
Penn. I guess it would be Penn.
And you just don't want to do it because you want to honor it? I don't understand. You're fair with other people. If people other come to you and be like, hey, I think I outperform my contract, why don't you do that same thing?
I mean... It's a interesting dilemma. Like I said, there's part of me that feels like you signed this contract, you agreed to it, it was good then, there's no guarantees everything would have worked, so it's the both sides. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not saying I won't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know Penn is aware of that contract and other contracts, so we'll see.
I think it was after, what, 19?
I'm also overly greedy. Granted, I have no money because I'm getting smushed in gambling and all. I mean, I have money, but it's all in my houses.
And I think you said after 19, right, you really thought about not re-signing and doing your own thing, Boston, like making pizza thing,
yes.
Whatever. Now, when you see a deal like that, does that, like, be honest, was there any percent of you, like, that had that in your head?
No, because we set the market. That's my point. If we didn't make that deal, Pat doesn't get that deal.
Yeah, but I get your point. But if we didn't set it, and then you did your own thing, you know, Pizza Boy Inc., and you went to whatever, and then you get that deal at the end of 2020.
Yeah, but
if someone else,
we had to make this deal with the gambling company. Like that,
but you don't.
Without Barstool's deal with Penn, the Lebatard deal doesn't happen. The McAfee deal does not happen. It does not happen.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you don't think someone else would have set the market then? Like maybe Cowherd gets that first deal.
No.
And then it's
– No.
And then all the – Because
I love Pat stuff. And I love Lebatard. There's no – they're singles. And I don't mean like basic – they're single entities. We are totally different. There is no media company like us who could have had an impact like us.
Really, though? You don't think there's market sets if it's not – like at all?
Nope.
I think that's a little crazy. I think it would have happened
by
at
who?
Some point. I don't know. Someone – they would have surely made a deal with someone.
It wouldn't have. It's everything. It's the deal we did. It's the way the stock performed even though it's crashed back down. Everything. Nope. I don't believe it. I don't think there's anyone else who could have set the market like what we did. It was so public, so everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point that there was a lot of
– who are they going to negotiate with? We changed the way things were perceived with acquiring the media. It set off like the gold rush with media. We were the first – like the Clay Travis deal doesn't happen. We set the market. There's nobody who can tell me otherwise. And I think we were the only ones who can set it at that point.
We certainly did, maybe at that point, but I just think it would have happened at some point. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know.
What do you think about it all being ad? Does that kind of make you think?
What?
What do you think about it all being ad-based? I mean, if we did that, then you wouldn't have seen it then, right? It would have been a different story. And then they wouldn't have the infrastructure. Wouldn't been Barstool Sportsbook. Like, do you know what I mean? Instead of giving up the equity, if we just did a straight-up ad deal for $100 million instead of the $450.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, from the Barstool side of it, you would like to have reversed it. You'd like all these deals to have happened and us to still be a free agent. Is that what you're asking? Yes.
No. Instead of the equity thing, instead of Penn actually buying us, because you know McAfee's still going to get shit from other places because they're just an ad,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
they're not. They don't control.
That to me is the same answer.
Do you when does Penn buy the other percent of Barstool?
I think they have the option at the end of 3 years, so we're at the end of two.
Okay, so they got one more year.
Yep,
and that still looks like foregone conclusion, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah. Is everything – I mean, it's the end of the year now. Is everything – how is year two? Is everything kind of happy? Did you have, like, the end of the year meeting?
No, I think – yeah, it's same. I think it's nothing that I've said over and over and over on this side. We don't spend that much on advertising related to the others. Like, as you're talking about it on one side, right, from – the what would Dave rather he do or Barstool rather. Pat made all this money. You look at FanDuel, they only bought what, Pat, for 3 years?
What? Three with a four-year option.
So they're going to have to – this gambling war is probably not going to be over in 3 years. They're just going to have to keep ponying up and ponying up. It's a huge advantage for Penn. That's my point with why I did it in the stock. It is a gigantic advantage for Penn.
Because they're going to have to keep going and pay
the other
the
guys keep,
what they want to keep
in, is what I used to do versus them in the fantasy days. Like Pat, I can't speak for him. I don't think he has any grand allegiance to FanDuel. If DraftKings comes in or Penn came in at the end of 3 or 4 years and says we'll double that, he'd jump, and everyone who likes him will jump with him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I completely get your point about it being good for Penn. They got the cheaper deal and. We're not going nowhere with buying the equity. So, all right. I mean, it's.
But
crazy,
yeah, the
man.
People who's like, I've no. It's good. I think that deal is. People are like, Dave has in Mussie. I don't. Like, I think it's good for Pat. I think it's good for me personally. I think it's good for Penn. I think that deal is good.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Big return. Big return last week. Danny Boy Kane seems to be back in the Twitter sphere.
Love it. I watched that like a million times. The return of the monster. Big Cat thinks he can get him for like a podcast. No fucking way.
Like a recurring podcast, yeah. Or like as a guest?
No, like that he'd have a podcast on our network just talking Kane's football. I find that hard to believe that he would ever do that.
Well, remember he had him call into the radio show last year.
Yeah. I mean, I love Danny Boy. His voice, everything about him makes me laugh, but I'd say that's a one in a million.
It'd be great, though. Did you find his Twitter account? I was searching around. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I couldn't find it.
It was hard. Besides that, we lost to Spittin' Chicklets in the dozen.
Yeah, so ZD's never won, right?
No, we've won a couple times.
I thought we had never won.
With me, you, and Clem, we've never
won. Yeah, I knew that. I didn't know that you guys won at all. Yeah, it was a tough loss, but good game, tough loss.
We're always right there.
Yeah, we are. It's tragic.
We're always right there. And then we're playing at the Arizona Bowl against Frank and the Frankettes. So
yep.
We'll see how that goes. I saw you negotiated with the big man from St. John Fisher.
Yeah, I've been talking to him. I want him to do like a weekly maybe segment, just big man on basketball, like highlight a different.
That's copyrighted.
Oh, is that?
BMOC.
BMOC. Just like feature a different big man and have him like do a segment on it. But very funny dude. He's a Barstool guy, obviously. He's like 7-something, like 350. What a unit.
Yeah, I think he was 7 foot.
Yeah. What a unit. Burst onto the scene.
What were you guys? You just shooting the shit? Did he say anything?
No, just trying to come up with ideas like on what he could do. And I came up with that big, again, the big man concept. Like, let's have him pick out a different big man across the country. I don't know how we get the footage is the problem.
Is it D3?
Yeah.
Fisher?
John Fisher?
Yeah. Maybe.
He might be our first D3 Barstool athlete.
Seriously.
Yeah, you got to get him, though. That was electric.
It was.
Felt bad for him when he went down, but then he had an unbelievable
threw a dime,
dish.
Yeah. He got up, made the play.
Yeah, beautiful. So look out for that guy. Look out for that segment. 1 million, one bite sold?
Yep, over 1 million, one bite sold.
Was that, like, up to par with our projection? Do you know anything
about
that?
I don't know. I mean, we got to go quick. Yeah, it's like, I really don't know. Sometimes they say one thing, sometimes they say the other. I was happy with it. 1 million units of one bite pizza, I feel like that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, and what was it out, 3 months?
I don't know when it launched exactly.
Four, maybe? It couldn't have been.
I'm not 100% sure.
So that's good. Is that, are we probably more products at Walmart? Like, is this like going to be a firm partnership?
Not sure.
So yeah, go grab your one bite at Walmart. And then you figured out your Instagram thing.
I don't know that I figured out. You mean telling people to basically put it on non-sensitive? I don't know. My Instagram's dead. It doesn't grow anymore. The views are way down. So I have no idea. It isn't because people are tired of my content, because it was consistent for like, I don't want to say decades, but it consistent for years. Like, you could set your watch to how many views a pizza review had. It would be 500 or 600,000 views per review. Now it's like 100,000. So I have no idea what's going on there, but something's going on there. I actually went private today. What?
Who told you that this whole sensitivity thing?
Paul, yes.
That, yeah, you're right. Like, everyone said at the middle, I checked mine after. That's crazy.
Yeah. And again, my views are so far down. It's crazy.
And you didn't see a difference, obviously,
no.
I assume?
It almost seemed like it hurt it after the speech. Like, it is going down. Like, almost Instagram was like, you told our secrets, now we're going to punish you even more.
Speaking out. Can't speak out.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. That Instagram is, like, disintegrating my views.
Is that are you discouraged by that?
I don't know if I'm discouraged, but it sucks.
And PSA, you didn't.
What am I going to do? There's nothing I can do. That's why you got to own your own shit. It'd be on multiple
PSA.
Platforms. I think a lot of it's like the Business Insider. I think there's algorithms that just when you find negative stories on somebody, it just pushes you down. Doesn't matter if the stories are true or not.
Could be. I don't understand how any of that works. What about the PSA? You know what that is?
Public service announcement.
Great job.
I was sick.
Great job.
I told you. I was sick. I'm still, if you can't tell, my voice probably. I was very sick for like a week. And today is the first day, honestly, that I thought I had COVID. I don't, but I thought I did.
I'm glad you don't.
Me too.
Fuck Cartier.
So, I got Silvana a bracelet. It's expensive. This thing called like the nail. It's a necklace and it clips in. It literally, well, here's Ulster. I went in without her. I've gotten her one thing before from there and they had her sizing. So they have it on file. So we got the same size. I got the same size as what I purchased beforehand, right? And it's a little bit big. But she's wearing it, and it has a clasp, just like anything else. She's wearing it a day after I bought it, and the thing unclipped, like, while it's on her wrist and fell off. That should not happen. So we take it into the store, and we're like, is this too big? The thing fell off. And the clerk who's working on it is like, oh, yeah, with the nail, you have to size one down. You got to get one size smaller. That's how it runs. Like, and I'm like, well, that's weird. The clerk didn't tell us that when I bought it. And he's like, yeah, everyone's supposed to know that. So he's looking it over. And in the middle of that, he's like, oh, there's a little chip. So we can't return it. It's like, yeah, there's a chip because the fucking thing broke while she was wearing it yesterday. We've had it for one day. I'm not trying to run some scam. She put it on her wrist and it like unclipped, which is an error on the bracelet, not on us. And he's like, yeah, we won't be able to do that. And then he's like, oh, by the way, this thing isn't even made in a size 14, one smaller. It's like, well, you just said we should have sized down. Now you're saying you don't even make it that way. So shouldn't I have known that? But I was more mad that they were like, you can't return it. Turns out they don't have the smaller size anyways, unless we wanted to pay 40% more than it cost. The thing was like 12 grand. It's not a cheap bracelet. Now, jeez. I'm doing this as a public service announcement, Eddie. For me, that's ashtray money. For a lot of people, that's their life savings. And they're like, this is my dream gift for my significant other. Imagine if you spend that and it just clips off, it a malfunction, and they're like, no, you can't exchange it. What do you mean we can't? What kind of place is it? What do they think we're doing? I had the receipt from yesterday. I wasn't trying to be like, hey, I want to return it. I was like, give me another one that fits, or give me one that doesn't have a chip because this thing broke. The guy was a dick. He's like, no. What do you mean, no?
And it wasn't the same worker as
it was a different one that I originally bought it from. So I don't know how they could possibly do that.
That's like the Cartier promise, though, is that like the bracelet won't fall off, right?
Is that their promise?
I think so. Because my...
No, Silvana fucking lied and made it a little more confusing. Because
what do you mean?
She didn't say what happened. He's like, how long? He's like, she's like, I wore it for 5 minutes. No, you wore it we went out, you wore it that night. And it unclipped. We told him that after. But he's like, this doesn't look like it was worn for 5 minutes. I'm like, dude, we bought the thing yesterday. You have the receipt. And again, I'm not trying to return. We want the bracelet. We just want one that fits. So for Cartier, if someone spends that much money and they come back the next day being like, the thing didn't work right, I can't even believe they hassled that. It's like, duh, give us the bracelet that's not broken or didn't work. It just seems stunning that they won't do that. I'll never shop there again. They probably lost over the course of, and it's just bad business, over the course of Cartier's life, I probably would have spent 100 grand there easy over the course of my life, 200 grand. Now, I will. And they don't give a fuck. It's some huge high-end brand, but I'll never give them another fucking dime after that. Like, it popped off. It was locked in. She wore it one night. It popped off while wearing. I was there. She went to say something. Her wrist moved, and the thing just went flying across the table.
Jeez. So they're on the banned list, huh?
Banned. Don't buy Cartier, especially if you saved up all your pennies, because they'll fuck you in the face.
Did you, was it like an IKEA-like tension in there? Was it?
This man, this little dainty man, knew I had him, because he knew I had him in the, like, you're supposed to size down. That's how he started it. He's like, yeah, if you have the 15 of the love bracelet, you size down, you should have a 14 in the nail. That's how he started it. And I was like, well, why didn't they tell me that when I bought it? They had her size. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, oh, they don't even make the 14 in this style. I'm like, so then how could they size down? Why didn't they tell me that? And he was turning red as I was like leaning forward, getting in his grill. Like, okay, he's lucky I didn't feel well. Because I was so getting like the, mad.
So the original guy is the one who fucked everything up.
It was a woman. And then then it makes me, and she knew who I was, by the way. Like, it makes me question, did they not tell me the size down because they knew they didn't have it and wouldn't get the sale? It doesn't seem very, the whole experience made it feel like I was at IKEA. Like, I don't know what you're trying to protect against. I bought a $12,000, $13,000 bracelet. The thing flew off her wrist day one. We're trying to get the right size. We're not, like, I felt like they thought I was trying to run a scam on them. Like, somehow get the money back. I don't know what they thought I was trying to do.
They probably get that shit a lot, I'm sure.
But what could I bought it yesterday. I'm returning it. We want the bracelet. We just want the right one.
Yeah.
And how can you not fix it? I had a million jewelry. By the way, jewelry game, savage. I had Tiffany's. I had Louis Vuitton. I had everyone reaching out being like, we won't give you that type of service here at this place.
And did Silvana just really like Cartier? Or she previously did? Is that?
I was just in the store. And Daniela here is like my go-to. Like, hey, what do you think of this? And she's like, the nail. The nail is big time.
Oh, wow. And nobody from Cartier reached out after your tweet.
No. Cartier is a scam. They're a chop shop. Cartier is a chop shop.
That's stunning.
Yeah. For a high-end brand. Like, I thought high-end brands were like, of course, sir. Like, that's horrible. Let us get you a new one. Like, well, I don't know. It's a chop shop. They're running a chop shop over there.
What about the people on Twitter being like, shut up, you rich asshole.
I am rich. I wasn't doing it for me. I can brush that off. I had $100,000 on the fucking Cardinals last night. I was far more concerned with that. $15,000 ain't shit. I'm doing it for the borderline rich guy, Eddie. I'm doing it for the rich guy that went out for the first. I've been there. I've been there when it's like the first time you go into one of these fancy things that you can't really afford. If that's the first time I did it, and I've been saving up all my ruples and pennies for 10 years to make that one big-ass purchase, and that happens, and Cartier, the chop shop that they are, is like, hey, sorry, buddy, go save up for another decade. I'm doing it for that guy. I'm doing it for the borderline rich. I'm not doing it for me. You think I give a fuck? I walked across the street to Dior and bought the store out. I was pretty woman. Okay, Cartier, fuck you. I don't even like this store, Dior, or fucking Fendi, or whatever was across there. I'm just going to go buy all of it. Like, I got money. I don't, like, it's not for me, Eddie. It's for the low rich guy, the guy who can barely afford that, but makes their first big purchase and is fucked with it. That's who I'm looking out to. Not me. I don't care. All right, Cartier, dainty little man. I'm never spending a penny with you again.
It's heroic, Robin Hood, a modern day Robin Hood.
I'm protecting there's a lot of people that first purchase at Cartier, that's huge. And for them, if the thing flies across the room the first time your significant other, girlfriend, whatever, wears it and gets a little chip and they bring it back, hey, this thing malfunctioned, and this little dainty man gives a double bird salute, I'm doing it for that guy. I should get a medal.
You brought up your bet on the Cardinals. You said you haven't hit a big bet since the Brandon Walker fiasco.
I haven't. I'm out. I went belly up last night. It was my last gasp. I'm out. Now, granted, if the Patriots win one more game, I'll have one more shot. But
did you know Mr. Ice is like 10-3? He's been like on
fire. I see his stuff. He doesn't send us his picks anymore. Me and Dan have talked about it a lot. I can't tell what he's doing. I just see him ripping his shirts off, going crazy all the time.
Well, he thinks the group chat is toxic. He doesn't like that. He thinks we're too negative in there.
It could be. It is toxic. He does send us the picks. The Washington game, I probably would have lost everything anyway. No, I'd have some. That Washington game killed me. I was 1-2 in my big picks. Washington, fucking Big Cat. Big Cat texted me. I stopped watching. I turned on Dune, I think, that movie. I'm watching Dune. Dan texts me. He's like, have you shut off the Washington game? I was sort of paying attention. So I'm like, oh, my God, what happened? Because I knew the I knew Washington was down 13, and I had them plus 6.5. And Dan texted me. He's like, you turn it off? And I go to my phone. It's like, interception. I'm reading the score. Like, interception, pick 6. It's like, fuck, I'm going to – they missed the extra point. I was looking. They're down 7. I'm like, what happened? Why aren't they down 6? I'm trying to read it. I can't see anything. I'm like, this has to be a misprint. I got mad at Dan. I'm like, why did you text me that? It's like I'm still fucking losing. I thought I won. I go to the game. I stop Dune. Turn the game on. Washington has the ball. First play. Hanky just drops it. Fucking turnover. Went back to Dune.
Bad beats. Bad beats.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So what's it, Brandon Walker? Is the grudge still?
No, I'm over it, but he fucked me hard. I went from 1.6 million to zero since that.
1.6 to zero?
Uh-huh.
Damn.
And Cartier thinks I'm worried about 12 grand. It's principle.
Fucking Cartier, man.
Have you ever withdrawn from your Barstool Sportsbook account?
No. I don't withdraw. Ever.
Yeah, then what, you're going to put in more here?
No. Nope, that's my max. No? That's my max. I'm not giving Westy another penny.
There's 2 weeks left. You got to have a 2020 fucking.
Well, I'll get some back. I still have the Patriots to win the AFC. I have the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. And the Cardinals to win the NFC. That took a hit. But the Patriots to win the AFC. Patriots 9.5 wins over. So I'll get another 100 grand back in there.
Okay, a little bullet there.
Yeah, and then I'll take one shot, and then I'll double it. So I can win 2 in a row after those hit.
But it's not like you're not going to bet March Madness.
Well, no, in March, yes, but I'm done till then, with the exception of those.
Okay.
But I can't stomach seeing Wesley parade around, peacocking around the office with my money.
Why? What's up? You and Wesley have been going at it all?
No, it's just – I know. like that's it's a combo. People don't get it. They're like, oh, Barstool is this. It's not only that McAfee makes all this money, it's we don't, and we actually end up like probably owing Penn.
It was a great move by them.
Yeah, like they pay this, and like Dave and Dan will lose this. It's like we actually are making money every which way on these idiots.
Rovell's always like
Rovell's
a
loser.
But he's always, like, griping that we're allowed to bet. I mean, I don't know, like, what that.
He's an idiot. That Penn doesn't own Barstool. I don't know, like, what's he not get about that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if those rules change when they buy us totally. I have no idea.
We'll see. Do you want to talk more about Succession? What'd you think?
Awesome finale. So good.
I don't understand why she didn't have a reaction, really, when she saw him. Did she not catch on that?
Who?
Shiv.
What do you mean she didn't have a reaction?
I don't know. I didn't really.
She definitely had a reaction. She's like, oh, I'm going to fuck this guy. What are you talking about? He didn't have a reaction. Of course she
did. I thought it'd be like way worse. Like, I thought.
Oh,
it would be
no. It was perfect. It was like, okay, it's fucking on. What are you talking about, Eddie, you weirdo?
No, I'm not. I'm saying, like, I thought she would have freaked out. She had a reaction.
She freaked out internally. It was perfect.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was wrong. I'm not saying it was bad, but
I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, it was a good finale, though.
Great finale.
What's his name? Justin Strong. People were up his ass for method acting or something, right?
What?
Did you see that report? Everyone, like, there was a big report that, like, something about Justin Strong. About
who's
how
Justin
super
Strong?
Big.
Jeremy Strong.
Jeremy Strong, sorry.
Who's Jeremy Strong?
Kendall Roy.
Okay.
You didn't see that whole thing?
No.
Yeah, it was like a big, I don't know if we could call it an expose. Did you read it, Kareem?
No.
It was just about how he's like gets so deep into like method acting, and the guy was kind of took
on
some
the
shots
New Yorker,
at him.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, yes.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, you didn't read the article, so of course you.
It's.
What?
I don't know. I'm just look.
You pulling it up?
On Succession, Jeremy Strong doesn't get the joke.
Is this what you're talking about, Eddie?
Yes, that's it. That's it. You didn't see this whole thing going like...
No.
It was trending and shit. Aaron Sorkin made a statement.
New Yorker profiles are usually super long, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to...
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
I don't read the
that.
Full thing either. And then a couple things here inside Barstool, and then we'll get out of here. Rhea and Fran at the People's Choice Awards.
I think I fell for the same trick with this 2 years in a row. I stay up watching this dumbass show waiting for Rhea and Fran, and they never appear.
Why? Because is it
they
like
don't
an
even
internet
I don't even think they announced their category on TV.
And you watched the whole thing?
Yeah, I wait for it.
Did you talk to them in the office? Were you like, hey, what happened?
No. I don't think I've been in the office since, almost.
No. Well, congrats to them. I know they didn't win, but two nominations, that's great. A lot of people are curious about this Lil Sass negotiation. He talked about it on the Yak.
Yeah, he's delusional.
How so?
He signed a contract 6 months ago. He wanted to double it. He literally said this to me. He's like, well, you were paying me this amount and I wasn't doing anything. Now I'm doing something. Well, maybe we shouldn't have paid you when you weren't doing anything. He's like, son of a boy, Dad. It's like he wanted more money himself than son of a boy Dad earns. Totally. It was a delusional conversation.
And how long did it go? Was it
10, 15 minutes?
Was it face-to-face or a
face-to-face?
Phone call? Okay. And what was your takeaway after that? Were you...
I already knew what he was asking. I'm like, this guy's a maniac. Like, no sense of reality.
Did he seem to take it well, or was he
upset
about it?
I couldn't tell. I mean, yeah, I guess. Strong, which I get a lot now. It's a different era and the younger. It's like they look at the world and creators. It's like, yeah, but we could go on Pantheon and make money. It's like, yeah, I get it. It's
Patreon.
Like Patreon. It's like, all right, fucking, this is Call Her Daddy. It's like, you get promoted every day. Like, he's like, do I? It's like, well, you're on the Yak, right? With like Big Cat, one of the biggest personalities out there. Like, your profile's growing here with Ron. It's like, yeah. Like, he basically wants, from my perspective, every cent that he can possibly bring into Barstool, he wants to go into his pocket. So, if son of a boy dad becomes bigger tomorrow, he wants to come back and renegotiate again because it just got like one more viewer. That's how I took it.
How long did he sign for?
I'm not even sure. It's not super long. He's got, I think, another year or so. I mean, I said point blank. I know you don't give a fuck about Barstool. I'm not going to give a fuck about you. Like, we're both using each other. You want to become big. We want you to bring notoriety to us. Let's make it work the best we can. At the end of the contract, you can go do whatever you want. That's how it works. If we re-sign you, great. If we don't, great. It's the same thing I've said a million times. But to come in after 6 months and double your salary with not an – I told him, I go, listen, you're a son of a boy dad. You get a lot of listeners. My Sharks Have Feelings book outsold you. It's 3 years old. Do merch. Do something. Prove it.
So you think he's in the camp that he doesn't really care about, so that
he
that
cares
holds
about
you
himself.
Up to?
Yeah, I've been told that's not necessarily true. I don't believe that. Like to want that much more money that quickly without doing really anything to warrant. It's like he's like, we started the podcast, it's growing 6 months ago. You what do you want?
So in your eyes, it was dead in the water when he said
he
had, paid me this.
I knew what he was asking for, and I knew he had no chance. But I wanted to like just set how we work straight because he didn't seem to have any clue.
So then that's it. What did he? Was he upset afterwards, or what was the?
No, he didn't seem upset.
No.
But I gave him the wrong stats in the beginning. Like, I thought he was at, I'm not going to say the podcast, a very small podcast, Son of a Boy Dad. But they have grown, but the revenue is not there because it's brand new. So you can't, it's like we're not selling ad. It's like it's brand new, relatively speaking. Mm-hmm. Like, there's an overall feeling with, I think, not just him, a lot of people in these doors. Like, Barstool exists solely to grow their personal brands. In the second they start growing, they want all the benefit of it growing. It's not how it works.
So, like, how long should it take in your eyes?
Well, first, we have to start. We're losing money.
On that show, but not overall.
Yes. Yes. If you look at how much the salaries of the people involved, yes, losing money. Losing money on that show.
And so, like, after this year, so when his contract's up, then it'll be a year in. And
then he can go look at anything. If he wants to go Patreon or whatever the fuck he wants to do, or we offer him more. But we, and let's not miss it, we have a laundry list of people here. Like, yeah, they ripped up our contract, gave us more. And it's not even always necessarily tied to revenue. It's brand new. He literally in the meeting is like, I'm like, what makes you think this? He's like, well, you were paying me X and I wasn't really doing anything. Like, what? So now you're doing something, you want to double your salary? Like, we're pretty far off.
How many of those have you done so far?
That was the only one I did recently.
Gotcha. Because I know last week was when you sent that email, so I was just curious.
Yep. Listen, I get it. I'm not mad. I told him, it's like, you have the right to come in and ask for whatever anybody does. And we're just not even close, like, right now.
Do you see a trajectory where he could get what he wanted, though?
Yes, but my instinct would be, if you're already asking for that, when we start getting to that, he's going to keep going up and up and up. Like, anything it's like, oh, I sold one shirt, I should get $15 more now to my salary. That's the vibe I got. He'll never be satisfied. If you're asking that quickly, it sets off a red flag. This human will never be satisfied with anything.
So do you have, like, a bad taste in your mouth with him, or you're just whatever?
Nope.
Okay.
This is the reality. It's kind of like, I'm not going to do any favors for him because I don't think he'll ever do favors for us. And I don't mean favors. I don't, like, you know, that whole early discussion, like, I've worked, and again, it's different. I've done 2 years now since my new contract without asking really for a raise. 2 years. On the overall arc of everything I'm talking about, that's where it gets confusing. Because that's the logic. It's like, you signed this contract 6 months ago. You want a new one because you admittedly said you just started doing something for the company. And I signed a contract. I don't know. Just because what other people are going to make doesn't necessarily mean I can just rip mine up and be like, oh, I want $40 million a
year. Yeah, but knowing that you have, like, an open door with, like, hey, we rip people's up, like, that does make people feel more comfortable asking for a new contract.
And I have no – you can always do it. I think he's – if I had to say on a scale 1 to 10 on the most delusional in terms of when to ask for that, he was at a 42.
Wow.
In schemes of delusional.
That 42 is high out of 10.
It's the most delusional ask I've had in 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
But if you said he just, I mean, I don't know.
It's delusional. Delusional.
Well, good luck to old Sass.
I don't hold anything against them, and I hope we get to a point where he makes what he wants, and we are like, yep, you earn it and deserve it. I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell, these country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Did you see Rutgers beat Purdue? TJ storm the court?
Yep.
That's a pretty good video.
It's all right. I mean, I hate him, so it's like I have a hard time finding any joy in anybody I hate.
Yeah, come on. Do you hate him, or do you just like no, you're just mad at him?
I have no
really.
Yeah, I have no respect for him. None.
I didn't know.
Everyone likes him. I don't.
But you can't get to a point where you.
Why would I get to a point when a man who worked here for 3 seconds publicly quit calling me a racist and saying I'm like the worst human ever publicly? And then Mooj, after he does all this, says he's going to go on to do great things. Two people did that. One, or maybe three. He did that. Then when he came in the other day, he disavowed him, what, 2 weeks ago? Based on the Silvana, and that's what caused you to... No. Why would I ever like somebody like that?
All right.
You're co-signing on me being a racist.
Yeah, I mean,
he's never once apologized. He's never said once thing. Everyone this, that, whatever. Fuck him.
So you don't take stock in anything? Like he was just a younger guy, didn't know he was affiliated with him with Game Time?
The man, like, what is he, an infant? I don't, he may think I'm a, for all I know, Mooj thinks, I mean, TJ thinks I'm a racist. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. He probably does. To be honest, he probably does. There's no other way that you could possibly ever co-sign on that.
Well, what if he does try to apologize or try to say something?
Too late. Because it's a forced apology. He didn't do it out of, like, the goodwill of, like, you know what, I fucked it. He didn't do that. He's doing it because now I've made it public. But that doesn't count as a real apology when you're held at gunpoint to do an apology.
You've really been holding on to that, too. That didn't come out till the Smitty Devlin thing.
Correct, yeah.
I mean, but there's an element, maybe he was, like, too scared to come talk to you and just be like, hey, I tweeted.
He wasn't too scared to tweet it publicly.
That is true. But some people don't, like, I don't know, maybe he was just a little bit, like, he's nervous. He doesn't want to come. It's awkward to walk in your office and apologize. I'm not defending that he tweeted it because I think it was stupid, but I know a lot of people here like TJ, so.
I don't give a fuck who they like. A lot of people here like Mooj. I never did.
But was there like, was it a tweet not saying I agree with what Mooj said, but.
The man publicly tweeted that I was a racist, and Mooj said, and TJ says he's going to go on to do great things. It was the epitome of what I hated about at that time. When people were here for a cup of coffee and had Barstool as they worked here, painting me as a racist, and Mooj and TJ high-fiving each other. It's everything I hated during that time period that made me actually want to fucking quit this place. And that's what I see when I look at TJ.
Damn, that's pretty serious.
Yeah.
Defense to Dave a little bit here. I did try to find another employee tweet that would like correspond, and I couldn't find anything besides the one person that we already know that we don't name.
There's somebody literally I found from the time, just a random person being like, it's bullshit. The two people, one doesn't work here, and TJ were the only ones like, it's crazy that these two people are defending Mooj. This man who everyone loves, never said a fucking word to me about it. Never. Never apologized, nothing. Just sat with those dumbass glasses. So, yeah, everyone suck his dick and say how great he is. That's easy for everyone else to do. They weren't in my shoes when that was going on.
No, we were not in your shoes.
So if anyone thinks it's fake, I fucking hate them.
Rico versus Dan Dockich.
I like Dan Dockich. I don't know what happened with Rico. I don't know why he was talking about Dan Dockich, but Rico only cares about Rico. Rico goes bananas on these things and tries to drag Barstool, being like, Barstool, he tagged Barstool. It's like, hold on. we have nothing against Dan Dockage. Dan and I both like Dan Dockage, Big Cat and I. So I don't know what you're getting. And Rico, you want to go fight? It's you and you alone. Don't drag Barstool into it because we have no problem with him.
Isn't that anti-rider, though, if you're not riding with him against Dan
But it, it's no, it's probably some dumbass reason. I don't even know what it is.
I'm sure he was disappointed, though, you didn't have his back.
It's a Rico fight.
Yeah. all right, that's it. What you're out next week? What do you?
Yeah, going to Mexico for a week.
That should be fun, huh?
Yeah, relaxing, get away.
Yeah, that's nice. Do you, where? I mean, can I ask where? Or what is that? You trying?
I don't even know where it is, but yeah, I'd probably not even say it if I knew how to pronounce it. But I don't know where it is.
Just you and Silvana, obviously.
Yep.
Nice. Well, all right then. Have fun. So that might be it. Maybe we'll do one at the Arizona Bowl. Who knows?
Possibly. We'll see how it goes.
Possibly. Yep. But yeah, if not, we'll see you guys in the new year. Possibly Arizona Bowl week. Just stay subscribed, and I guess we'll catch you then, right, Dave?
Perfect.
Perfect. All right. That's it, everybody. We'll see you when we see you.